We start the program by talking Red Sox baseball, and to do that, we turn to the source authority. He's Pete Abraham of the Boston Globe. Pete, good afternoon.
Rich, I want to hear the Tommy James story. Come on.
Well, it involves a pharmaceutical, I can tell you that.
Oh, what a surprise. All right, there you go.
As if Hubert Humphrey wasn't wired enough before that. That's the kind of hard-hitting stuff you get right here. Are you at Fenway? What's going on? Are they coming back?
They are coming back, but I'm not at Fenway. I'm actually home packing up because I'm flying to London this evening.
Well, there you go. Yeah, let's we'll talk about that in a moment. What's going on there is that Sox have climbed back within a run. It's 6-5 in the eighth inning, but whatever strangeness has gone on this season, one of the more unusual things is the fact that they have a hard time winning games started by Chris Sale.
You know, it's going to be a calendar year between victories at Fenway Park for Chris Sale. In the regular season, at least. He did win the game in the division series last year against the Yankees. And, it's certainly very strange. I think we all understand that a win-loss record for a pitcher is not always indicative of how well or even how poorly he pitched. But for a guy like Sale to go that long without a victory at Fenway Park, it's certainly very strange.
You wrote a really good piece a couple of days ago about the Red Sox as we approach the only trade deadline this year with the waiver deals gone in the month of August. But is there really a world where the Sox could truly be sellers?
Well, I would think, there could be, especially if they have a poor start to the second half, come out of the All-Star break, they have the Dodgers for three games, the schedule is going to get tougher. And if they show that they can't win at home, which has been a problem for them, if they show they struggle against good teams, which has also been a problem for them, at some point, and I don't expect this to happen. I think Red Sox ownership will do everything they have to do to try to, continue to be contenders. That's what they've always done in the past. I expect them to continue to do that. But if you look at who they have on their roster with the free agents that are coming up, they could really make some big moves that would reset the franchise for years to come if that's what they chose to do. I don't know that they would do that, but it was certainly something fun to think about, and there was a lot of response to that column, pro and con, and just kind of goes to show you how New England fans are always thinking about what could come next.
It's been an interesting stretch. They had that 8 wins in 9 games and then struggled against the Blue Jays. Got the nice win the other night with unlikely hero Marco Hernandez. There are signs that maybe they're turning the corner, but then it seems often to be 2 steps forward and 3 steps back. What should fans be most encouraged about as we swing into the second half?
Well, I think the two most encouraging things have been the play of Rafael Devers and Xander Bogaerts. Both of those guys are better than they were last year and really are establishing themselves as among the top 3 players at their position in the American League. In Xander's case, he might be the best shortstop. And it's been really, for me, a lot of fun to watch those guys come as far as they have. And both of those guys had questions to answer when they were younger players. With Devers, it was his defense. With Bogaerts, it was, can a guy that size stay at shortstop? Is he going to have to move somewhere eventually? And he's been able to show he can be a very good shortstop. So those two guys have been very pleasant surprises, I think better than anybody could have expected. But on the other hand, you've got J.D. Martinez and Mookie Betts, who haven't been nearly as good as they were last year. So it's been sort of a balance for the Sox, trying to find different ways to win games, and it hasn't always been easy. They've struggled at home. It's been kind of a grind for them. But the second half of the season started today, and they're a sort of a wild card spot. So all things considered, it's not so bad.
Andrew Benintendi out of the lineup again today. What's going on with him?
He's got what Alex Cora described as heavy legs, which would indicate to me he's probably got some kind of, maybe a minor hamstring thing, a minor cramp, calf or something like that. He's been on his feet a lot lately, hasn't had a lot of days off, and they gave him 2 days in a row with the long flight coming up to London. They're worried about dehydration. They've talked to the guys about, being drinking certain things on their way to London. Making sure that they're going to be good physically. They're playing on artificial turf in London, which is an issue. So I think they were just trying to be as careful as they could with Benintendi because of the trip.
We're talking with Pete Abraham of the Boston Globe here on Downtown. Alex Cora is still trying to find answers in that bullpen. Steven Wright is back, but as you wrote, maybe some uncomfortable moments, although at least Steven Wright did address things right up front with his teammates.
Yeah, he did that in spring training. And there was still, even after that discussion, there were still some guys who didn't necessarily believe what he was saying. The fact that he says that, you know, he has no idea how this could have happened, and you know, he denies that he knowingly took any substance, which is what everybody seems to do when they get caught. And it's I think in baseball 15 years ago, it would have been something everybody would have looked the other way. But now, in the age of testing and in the age of players kind of looking down on the guys who test positive, they feel like that they're being cheated by the guys who test positive. Chris Sale has been a very vocal opponent of using performance-enhancing drugs. Rick Porcello has been as well. And now the Sox have a guy in their pitching staff and Michael Chavis, who was suspended last year, in the lineup every day. And I think, you know, it's a balancing act for Alex Cora, because these are two players who can obviously help them. But at the same time, I think there's guys in the clubhouse who look at those guys and say, geez, you know, whose job did they take by doing what they did?
By the way, Xander Bogaerts has singled in a couple of runs. Sox have taken the lead 7-6 in the bottom of the eighth here. Well, so after this, it's off to London. Major League Baseball obviously going with marquee franchises to promote the game on a global stage. Is this going to be good for the Red Sox?
Well, I think it's good for the business of the Red Sox. I'm not sure how much the Red Sox and Yankees are going to like playing over there and all of the inconvenience that it entails. But when you look at what the NFL has done in Europe and what the NBA has done in Europe, baseball's been obviously well behind them in terms of promoting the game in Europe and in England. And this is a start for them. And they needed to have a marquee game, and you can't really do much better than Red Sox-Yankees. So this is good for the baseball. It's for baseball. It's good for the Red Sox financially. It's good for the Yankees financially. Everybody's going to benefit, except the guys who are going over there to provide the entertainment. You know, they're having their whole schedule thrown off. But as Alex Cora said to them the other day, you know, this isn't like taking a bus in AA 14 hours to play a game. They're going to be on a first-class flight. They're going to be staying in the nicest hotel in London. You know, this isn't exactly heavy duty. So they, you know, if the biggest sacrifice they're making is playing two games in London, I'm sure they'll end up fine.
And finally, I've got one music question I've got to ask you before we go. But as we approach the trade deadline here, just over a month away, obviously the bullpen would seem to be the primary need. What do they have for collateral? What can they afford to give away?
Well, you know, it's funny because their farm system has been considered one of the worst in the big leagues for maybe the last year and a half, 2 years, because of all of the trades that they made that led up to winning the World Series. So you certainly can't complain about that. But they're starting to make a comeback. They've had some guys make their way up to Portland who are legitimate prospects. Pawtucket doesn't really have too many prospects, but when you look at the lower levels of the minors, they do have some players. And those are the kind of players that a rebuilding team that's trading off players at the trade deadline, I think, would be more interested in. So there are undoubtedly players in Salem and Greenville that those teams would be interested in. The question becomes, how many of them do you want to give up? Do you want to try to obtain two relief pitchers, one relief pitcher? Maybe you want to obtain a starter and put him in the bullpen. There's a lot of different ways you can go. But I think for this particular team, one way or another, they need to get somebody who can take some of the load off of Matt Barnes and Brandon Workman and Ryan Brazier. Those guys are on a pace that I think is untenable. I mean, they're going to break down if they don't bring somebody in who can help them. Stephen Wright could be a start, but I don't think Stephen Wright's the guy who's going to be closing out games in the ninth inning. So there's got to be somebody out there Dave Dombrowski can bring in that's going to make Alex Cora's job a lot easier in the late innings.
I don't know how he keeps doing it. Western Stars has become, in just a week or so, one of my all-time favorite Bruce Springsteen albums. How much do you love it?
Well, you know, I like it a lot because I like Springsteen's solo stuff very much, going back to Nebraska. And what's interesting about this record is, to me, it's almost like a homage to Glenn Campbell and, you know, Jimmy Webb and the guys from that era in the 60s and 70s who were out on the West Coast. And I think Western Stars was that name is probably indicative of the kind of record that it is. I think there's, you know, obviously a lot of the imagery and everything is from the West. It's an interesting record. I don't know. It's, as somebody who likes to see Springsteen live, I'd be curious to see how many of those songs end up on a concert playlist because they're so nuanced and there's a lot of layers of music behind those songs. And it'll be interesting to see how those songs play when the E Street Band gets back together.
Yeah, and of course, the even better news with Bruce announcing that he's written a new album of E Street songs. So all kinds of great stuff ahead.
Well, you know, except that every time I hear about that, I always think back to all of those records that supposedly he's put together that never came out because he didn't like them enough.
That's true.
So, until Bruce gets in the studio and something comes out the other end, we'll see how long that takes. But it does seem like they're working a lot quicker than they used to, that's for sure.
Well, Pete, I know you got to do some quick work as well. Get packed, ready for the big trip. Safe travels to London. Have a wonderful time there. We appreciate you making some time for us, and we'll talk with you when you get back stateside.
Thanks, Rich. Always nice talking to you.
It's Pete Abraham of the Boston Globe talking Red Sox with us here on Downtown. Again, the Sox have gone ahead in the bottom of the eighth inning, 7-6 over the Chicago White Sox this afternoon after falling behind early. Our Boston Insiders, brought to you every day on Downtown by the Ground Round, happy hour pricing 3 to 6, and specials during games. Great service, amazing food at your locally owned and operated Ground Round on the Odlin Road in Bangor.